to me, the favorite quote this week is by Erskine Bowles, who co-chaired the President's Deficit Commission. He said, quote, "The era of deficit denial in Washington is over."
And yet it often, I think we hear that a lot, and we even saw in the Deficit Commission, when you actually get into the nitty-gritties, it's those devilish details, that's when it becomes really hard to actually decide what we're going to do.
Sure, and I guess today we heard that they didn't get the votes for a mandatory consideration in the Congress, but there's been a lot of work on this. Alice Rivlin and Pete Domenici have come up with a proposal that's interesting. The Peterson-Pugh Commission on Budget Reform has. And of course, David Walker from the Peterson Foundation has been pushing there and earlier from the GAO. So a lot of people are pushing on this.
Why is this important to feds? Why is this an important federal issue?
For the first time, in my judgment, the momentum has shifted. And it's now shifted to those who are advocating and outlining ways to solve the problem. So as you suggested, it's going to be very difficult, but I think we've had an interesting inflection point here, and I think this is now part of the agenda and going to be part of what feds are going to face on a daily basis in so many different ways.
And I know we've been spending a lot of time this week talking about the proposed pay freeze, 2-year pay freeze. Even that fairly significant in terms of this hasn't happened since the Reagan administration.
No, I mean, you've got pay freeze and freeze on bonuses, another comp. You've got a discussion about cutting the workforce by 10%, reducing contractors by 250,000, cutting federal travel, cutting federal vehicle budgets, and the overall cut in domestic discretionary by 5%. I mean, this is a wide range of very serious adjustments in financing.
It's interesting because we've seen a lot of changes on the state and local front, and I kept talking about them, saying, hey, this might be what we see coming to the federal level, even changes to retiree benefits, where we haven't seen those kind of benefit changes in as far as I can remember, ever.
Right. That's why I see this as the big story. This is a shift that certainly before the election and earlier this summer we hadn't anticipated quite as dramatically and quite as soon.
Yeah. And the election really seemingly bringing that out, that people, this is the thing that they're really concerned about.
Well, we have a new Congress now. And interestingly, we have a new director of OMB.
Yeah.
Jack Lew was the director the last time the budget went to surplus.
Yeah.
And I think that's the task he's been handed by the president. So I think there's going to be some serious attention to these things.
So what does this mean for the feds, for managers? How are they going to be doing their jobs different in 2011 than they were doing it in 2010?
Well, they're going to have to take steps to actually wrestle with these new limits, because there are going to be some cuts and adjustments made. And in some cases, people are going to operate with a lot less money. So what had been only marginal changes in the past are going to be real serious things that people are going to have to actually undertake. And that means a lot of adjustments, not only in what people do, but most importantly, how people do their work. The business models and operating assumptions for a lot of programs are going to have to change dramatically.
It's interesting because we saw the SAVE Awards, the second year of the SAVE Awards, come up this year. And a lot of the ideas, one was to stop, well, the winner was to stop sending Federal Register notices to people, to stop mailing them, save on mailing, save on printing, and instead to have those people get them online. And I saw a lot of discussion with people saying, hold on, that seems like something that you come in and do on day one. I think some of the things that they were looking for were some of the big systemic kind of changes that folks can talk about. Rather, that felt a little like dancing along the edges.
Well, maybe, and I don't even know the exact size of that one, but I think for federal managers, it means they've got to consider strategies that are first of all, don't require legislation, and because then that gets into the policy realm and so forth. But second are realistic and proven changes that have been undertaken by other governmental organizations or in the private sector. A lot of adoption of best practice, if you will, to close offices, reduce energy use, do shared services for mission support activities. I mean, there's a whole realm of things that are proven best practice and ways to save money, but are darn difficult to undertake. But this may be the time.
Do these kinds of things become easier to almost force into place because there simply isn't the money? I think about cloud computing and people go, oh, you know, they throw up all sorts of reasons why they can't do it. Well, if you have to do more with less, all of a sudden you focus on, okay, we have to figure out the solution. It really is a almost forcing factor.
Necessity may just demand it, exactly. Yeah. And what would have been a hard thing in the past becomes absolutely necessary at this point to adjust to a significant cut. So I think for managers, this is going to be either a big challenge or a big opportunity, depending on how they step up to this.
And it does seem like the big challenge for managers is to think of this as a real opportunity to look at things in a very different way.
Well, sure. None of this is going to be easy, but it will require leadership, and that's where the strong players will step forward and figure out how to change the way they're operating.
But I was going back and listening to some of our conversations that we did looking at the year past a year ago, and this wasn't really on anybody's radar. This has just really burgeoned in this past 12 months.
Oh, I'd say even in the last 60 days.
Yeah.
It's really no. There were a few folks crying for this, like David Walker,
yeah.
But people were just getting tired of what he had to say, and now there are a bunch of folks out there all over, from Pew to again Rivlin and Domenici, and now the President's Commission, because they got a majority on the President's Commission supporting this. They didn't get the full vote, but both sides.
I think a lot of people were surprised they got as many votes as they got.
And on both sides as well.
Yeah.
So again, I think the necessity and recognition that it's time to begin working on this is finally sunk in.
And the other thing that really strikes me is that this is something, talk about something that touches every single agency across government, including DOD.
Oh yes, I don't think anyone's going to escape this. This is, and that's part of the lesson, I think, is that everyone's got to feel some pain and everyone's got to make some adjustments. That's the only way you can find any of these reductions acceptable, because everybody's going to have to take part.
I know one of my concerns has been when it's so difficult to make the individual choices because there's so many folks involved that we just do sort of this across the board thing. And that's essentially what we did in the 90s with the Clinton cuts. And some of those were still paying for the ramifications of that. This seems like hopefully people are making more nuanced choices. Hold on. Where do we really, what's important to spend money on? What's less important to spend money on? And make those real decisions. Make set priorities.
Yes, and I would argue that it's imperative at this point to think about it in terms of performance and improving, at least maintaining, if not improving, performance. I mean, take your Federal Register example. It may be that doing it electronically and through other means of distribution actually is a better and faster way of getting people the kind of information they need in a digital, searchable, and low-cost way.